So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Ah, the Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
There has never been a six seed in the history of the NFL playoffs with more pressure on them to make the Super Bowl than
absolutely
the
right. That's how I feel, that the Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar does not play to their favor. Everybody in the room knows you're the one team that can't lose this weekend.
This is like playing Mike Tyson's punch out, and you don't have to beat Mike Tyson at the end to win the game, to win the AFC. You got to take down Soda Popinski, and you make the Super Bowl.
They are on the road against a team that won 13 games, has won 8 in a row, whose quarterback is playing as well as any player in the league over the last month or so, and it will be considered a huge failure if they lose the game.
Mahomes not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Lamar not in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Burrow not in the playoffs.
Yeah. This should be his year.
I wonder if it could cost McDermott his job. I don't know if that's fair. Yeah. But I wonder what a loss would mean for that team.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
We're coming out firing right out of the gates. I did make this request from Joe Kelly because, I don't know, I'm hot about it.
The Mahomes, Lamar, Burrow aren't in. Yes. You got to do it now take?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm hot about it.
I've liked Owen's take on this, which is leads me to kind of think about whenever someone says, I think even Sal said this yesterday, like, there's no pressure on the Jags because first-year coach or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah. And I get that.
House money.
Right, and like in some ways, like no one's going to be mad at the Jaguars if they lose this game. Right, like even their own fans might feel like, all right, good first step. Golf clap of a season.
Patriots have that life right now too, right?
Yeah. I feel like you've got more pressure because I don't know that you're going to be back here. The same way I feel like the Bills are probably going to be back here. Denver, I definitely feel that way about. Like, you got to do it now.
Well, Denver's got the one seed. But the idea that
also have a quarterback that I think is maybe not that great.
Houston,
like, do it now. All these teams, like, if that is the take and that is these are the guys you're worried about, all of the teams without Allen, Burrow, Jackson, Mahomes, you better do it this year, because this year you might only have to beat one of them, and then in the next couple of years you might have to beat four of them or three of them or two of them.
Are these four entitled to playoff spots? Because apparently not. The thing I would say
is... Well, it takes injuries. Except for Mahomes. Mahomes didn't take injury.
Okay, how about last year with Burrow?
Last year?
Yeah.
He missed a bunch of games,
didn't
he?
Not that many. Not that many. They just were terrible defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar? Okay. The Bills have beaten him twice in the playoffs.
Right.
These three mythical figures that, well, they, can you believe they're not? Tua made the playoffs last year. In the last 2 years, Tua made the playoffs.
But he didn't do anything when he got there.
He's got a longer playoff streak than Burrow. Like, this idea that we have to treat these other three, well, I mean, these guys are not in. I kind of did not expect this. During the regular season, fine. But I don't know. Shouldn't every team that's not the Bills be using bulletin board material? But like, they think that the only teams that are good are the guys that are that have missed. This is not the NCAA tournament where it's Kansas and 63-12 seeds.
Uh-huh.
This is not what the field is. There's a reason that North Carolina, in finger quotes, missed the tournament. They weren't that good. You know what the Chiefs were in, like, EPA per play offensively this year? In the 20s.
Yeah.
They weren't good.
That's surprising. Weren't they, like, pretty high middle of the season?
It might have been something that dropped considerably once they lost to Tennessee and Vegas.
We're counting the Oladukun games in there, too.
Team sport, baby.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, good morning. Happy Thursday. 803-0550 is our phone number. 1-888-550-2550. I don't know. I don't know what to do with this. I feel like every time I'm seeing... Which, you know, Instagram, all your social media feeds, feeding you the stuff that is both good and bad for you, like golf lessons. My Instagram, of course, it's not quite golf lessons now. It's parenting advice because, you know, golf's out of season. Anyway, I feel like every time I see Nick Wright scream that there's so much pressure, I wonder to myself, how many times do you have to say it before you actually believe it? do people feel like, man, a lot of pressure in this game. I feel like the Bills don't have pressure until they get to a game of consequence. I know it's do or die and it's the opening round, but if they were to get to the AFC Championship game and play pick anybody you want, the Chargers in the miracle scenario where it comes back here, that's a lot of pressure. Like, now you got to win.
Yeah.
You are home, you're favored, you are one game away from the place you've never been to. If you get to the Super Bowl, will you be an underdog against the Rams?
Yes.
An underdog against the Seahawks?
Yes.
I don't know. The entire sport only exists for quarterbacks. I know how this works now. So, like, the whole conversation to me, Joe, is just relentless trying to convince everyone that the Bills are bound by pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And... Maybe it's my own feeling that they're going to win, or maybe it's my own feeling about, like, your point about how everybody's going to be back. Like, well, Josh is not going to age out. I don't think anybody would make a case their window's going to close. Who's the most important player that could potentially leave? This is not the closing of the Poyer, Hyde, Diggs window. Nobody that important would you think would leave? Milano. Is Milano the best player that would leave? Is it Taron Johnson? Like, they're not at the end of some sort of spot here. And I know, like, every year matters, and I'm sure I'll get around to every year mattering. But, man, the idea, it feels like everyone is trying to create pressure on the Bills this year because they lack Mahomes, Jackson, Burrow to talk about. Like, you know what we got to do? We got to put all of the quarterback takes from those four guys. We're going to put them on one guy. We can't yell at Bo Nix if he loses.
He's Thanos now with all the Infinity Stones.
Yes. Yeah. We have to yell at him because, you know, let's be real. If Drake May loses, no one's going to say, like, oh, he's not that good. It was his first ever playoffs.
Right.
If Trevor Lawrence loses, he doesn't move the needle. It's like the entire weight of all four quarterbacks who need to win For Mahomes, he's got a win to chase down Brady. For Burrow, he's got to do it to chase Mahomes. Jackson's got to get one. Allen's got to get one. All right, all four of them. There's only one of those guys in. You know what we're going to do? Focus all our powers on one. Him. Mm-hmm. He's the one that has the pressure of four quarterbacks.
Well, that's where I would look at the Bills and want to defend the idea or go against the idea that he should have all that pressure on him because of the field when I don't think this is the best version of the Bills. If it was the best version of the Bills and Keon Coleman had been A.J. Brown and they had nailed a bunch of other picks on defense, like just they were loaded with talent all over the place and they didn't have flaws and they had a receiving game, then I would go into this playoffs thinking, all right, yeah, you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how, even though they're here and those other teams aren't, I don't know how different the Bills are from Cincinnati, Baltimore, Kansas City, who you would all say that's the worst form of those three teams. Right? Like the Bengals maybe have just been that now. Like their defense is terrible and their line is terrible and it's really hard for Burrow. And it's really hard for them right now with their roster to compete for championships. And even Jackson this year, it's like the injuries all around the roster. They were missing Roquan Smith. They were missing Kyle Hamilton. They had line problems. Mahomes, we know that was the worst version of the Chiefs that we saw. This isn't the worst version of the Bills we've seen with Allen. Like, and that's where I would get to more pressure on the other teams is, are you going to count on these four teams with these four quarterbacks to always be this poor around them? Because I wouldn't. Maybe not all of them will get it together. I'm not sure Cincinnati ever will with Burrow as their quarterback. But, like, I'm going to count on the Bills, Chiefs, and Ravens not to get better. Because right now, I feel like, hey, Jacksonville, this is about as good as you can get, maybe, with this quarterback. It might be. Bo Nix and the Broncos, this might be as good as you can be. Whereas this is not as good as the Bills can be. When that quarterback is under center, your sky is the limit. And I would say the same thing about the Chiefs and the Ravens. So if that's true and all these other teams are peaking, I would not put New England in that boat, and I probably wouldn't put the Chargers in that boat. But the rest of them, like, now it's go time. Because this version of Allen is not the best version. The best version that would be surrounded by, you know, whoever the next Diggs would be.
Yeah. How about we boil it down to this? Are we sure they're not better than last year? Are they not better than last year's team? Last year's team is this year's team with a bunch of takeaways and no turnovers.
And more James Cook carries.
Right?
A lot more.
More carries for Cook, but not as efficient? Or are you saying this year's?
No, I think, I mean, would we have to say this year? I mean, he did win the rushing title. He had he had 102 more carries this year.
So,
like a massive amount. And actually, his yards per carry went up. By
so
0.3.
This year's team runs the ball better with James Cook.
Yeah.
And what do they do worse? They don't get as many turnovers.
They don't, and they turn the ball over more.
They turn it over more, and they give up sacks.
Right.
But in terms of just this year's team plays last year's team, who wins? Does last year's team win because they turn the ball over because this team turns it over?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that they're not better. They're a lot better at safety. They're a lot better. They're a lot better at corner.
That's true.
I mean, going in, like if I take final form, like Benford can be a wash, but my second corner position, if I'm healthy, is what Hairston/Trey White. Is that better than Rasul Douglas? I think it might be.
Right.
Is their defensive line better than last year? Is it a push?
Push.
Joey Bosa is better than anybody they had last year.
Yeah, true. Right. Epinesa was one spot higher in the pecking order.
Yeah. So,
and last year also they actually were pretty good, low key, at stopping the run last year, but they were horrible against the pass. This year, I'd rather be that. Yeah,
I'd definitely rather be better against the pass than I am against the run. Anyway,
it is close though, isn't it?
Sure.
Like even if we might pick last year or if we would pick this year, I think that point is probably right. But they're definitely not what they were the 3 years before that. Right. They're not the 13. They would this team beat the 13 seconds team? I think they get hammered.
I don't know. Maybe not. Probably not. They are. Here's the other thing.
And that's where I would want to look at. You know, you got pressure to beat the Bills now, because what if they got back to a team like that that just will throw it all over you and defensively gets back to like really stout all the way around? Like they had a couple defenses in there that were like top five in the NFL, and they haven't been near that. even if they've been better this year,
right,
patchworking it together with whoever they can do it with, they have not been a top five defense. They've not been Denver or Houston
for
years.
That's right.
But and if they someday get back to that with Allen as their quarterback, like that's a more terrifying version of the Bills.
Sure. When they're at their best, they're good stopping the pass, and they are kind of good at that right now. We'll see if that holds up against Jacksonville. 803-0550, the number. Let's get your thoughts on this. Are you out there buying the relentless talking point that there is more pressure on the Bills because of the teams that are not in the playoffs? Do you feel it? Do you feel more pressure for them? And if you want to maybe compare this year to last year's team, I think that might be in here. I hear a lot of, and I'm not really to push too hard back on it, that this version of the Bills might be one of the weaker versions of the Bills to go into the postseason. Now, of course, they could like win the Super Bowl with this version, or they could be one and done. And maybe that's what's different right now, is every other year in the last 5 years in this spot, we treat this game as a formality. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, he's going to get Skylar Thompson out of the way, and let's move along to the second round against whoever's the second round. Or
Rudolph,
Mac Jones, or Mason Rudolph. Yeah. Right. Beat the tomato can in front of you that's the underdog in your house. And this is, you know, a quality opponent that they're going to have to go and find a way to beat. But, I don't know, more pressure. Who should feel it? Who should actually feel... Who should feel pressure?
Well, if you want to make it about the quarterbacks, wouldn't inherently the pressure have to be on McDermott? Because...
He doesn't have to stop those guys?
No, but he does. Well, right. He doesn't have to stop those guys, so you don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse to let somebody go, you know, throw all over you, or just defensively, whatever. Like, if you let up a big game defensively, it's no longer just, oh, you can't stop Mahomes. Now it becomes more of an overall arching playoff point. So McDermott, maybe?
Maybe. The thing about that is...
I just wouldn't say it about Allen.
I wouldn't say... No, I don't think Allen should... Allen might feel pressure in games because he might feel like he has to make plays and has to make something happen. If they're shutting down James Cook in the run game,
right,
will Allen feel an added incentive or pressure to do more? Yesterday at Media Day, he talked about how Joe Brady had him do some self-scouting and how he could see how many plays he left out on the field and take some easy button throws, take some, you know, shorter throws that are available, keep things moving along. And when they get kind of out of sync, it sometimes is because he passes those up for bigger shots down the field. So maybe in-game Allen feels pressure. But, man, like just the idea that he's going to lose sleep tonight going into Jacksonville, he's played in some pretty big games. And he's played pretty well in some pretty big games. And I guess maybe that's why this whole conversation to me is this isn't Lamar. Oh, buddy, a lot of – if Lamar were in the playoffs with no – Allen or Mahomes, that I would buy more. That's a guy that has not performed in the playoffs the level that he does in the regular season.
Right.
And then I would say, oh, man, look, you just don't throw up on yourself, and you're not going to run into one of the guys that always wins and always beats you.
Right.
Lamar has losses to Allen and Mahomes in the playoffs. Allen twice and Mahomes once. For Allen, like, he is a mount in the playoffs. So maybe that's the root of why I'm like pushing back on it, and I just don't have much time. I mean, I've got time for it. We're going to talk about it for a while today. But
right.
I mean, I'm just flummoxed. Like, everybody keeps talking about all this pressure on Josh Allen. I don't see it.
Yeah, I think it will go away the moment he... If they don't win it, then what's going to happen next year? Are they going to be the AFC favorite again?
Maybe.
Like, in the offseason, they'll be right back to talking about them as, you know, one of the contenders.
And if they get knocked out, if they lose, who will be blamed? If Allen plays poorly... Who will be blamed?
Well, that's... I'm wondering... We've done a lot of, like, if they lose this week, but I get why. If that happened, if he played poorly, but, like, what does it look like? Does it look like the Houston game or the Atlanta game where he's running for his life and nobody's getting open down the field?
Because the Eagles game. Make it the Eagles game, which they lost by a point.
Well, the Eagles game is different. The Eagles game, I think, if he's just throwing up on himself, which I think he kind of did in that Philadelphia game,
fair,
then that's different. Then if people come after him, I'll feel like, oh, he kind of earned that. If he missed a throw to win the game at the end, like that's, I don't know how you escape blowback from, if that happened in a playoff game.
If it's the Atlanta game.
If it's the Atlanta game, I'm going to want to defend him. I'm going to want to say, like, and I'm sure there would be a million people out there. What did he have in the Atlanta game? Did he have like 150 yards? Against Atlanta, he had 15 of 26, 180, two touchdowns, two picks.
Yeah, and one of those picks was the last play of the game on like trying to make something happen.
But he didn't really do much in that game. Less than 200 yards passing, and they needed it. If he has that game and he's getting hit and no one's getting open for him down the field, I'm going to want to defend him all offseason and say, yeah, you could say Allen was bad in that game and didn't perform up to his standard, and I'll tell you it wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
He didn't have receivers.
I mean, I tend to think many of us get to, and I do this a lot, if he doesn't play well, sure, he has responsibility in that, but I do feel like the system around him, the ecosystem around him is at least, maybe not to blame, but is definitely a factor. People will come for the OC, people will come for the GM, people will come for the coach, people will come for the left tackle if he gives up a sack to Josh Hines Allen or something. Whatever. Maybe it's just because it's the playoffs and we're starting to ramp up. Maybe we do this every year. We kind of forget about it. But the pressure point, how much pressure do you feel like the Bills are under? They are road favorites. They will have to win three road games in a row. They have not been great on the road in the playoffs. They've only played, a couple. Mostly it's Kansas City.
Since Allen got great, it's only Kansas City.
Yeah, it's Kansas City and Houston, a game that they had a big lead and blew. And every time you watch that game, I can't believe that they lost it. But even on the road this year, they've lost to teams they probably shouldn't have lost to. You feel like if they were a better team, they might have finished the job. I just think that it's a little overblown. And maybe on Monday, if they lose, which I don't think they will, but if we come in Monday and we're like, are they going to lose because of pressure?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe pressure on the passer, maybe. But, man, like, I don't buy it. Well, I don't buy it, this idea that they're under more pressure because of the teams that are not in there.
Would that be the storyline if we get one of those sugar high Josh games? He doesn't do that. I mean, he's not done that in the playoffs, I don't think, since the Houston game. Did he have a couple of those this year?
He had some this year.
Where he feels like he's got to do everything. I think the Philadelphia game a couple of times he felt like he had to do everything. But then there are these other games where like he does do everything. Yep. Right? Like and we talked about his stats against the other top quarterbacks on the other side.
Right.
Yeah, like sometimes when he feels like I have to do everything, he just goes out and does it. But if he's running around and he's what? Like, what's the craziest thing he could do? I don't think he's going to. He could lateral a football. Didn't he think about it?
Can I give it to you?
He thought about it against the Ravens last year, didn't he? He almost did. Like, if he does something like that, then everybody is going to apply that exact phrase to Allen after the game, which is, oh, he was feeling the pressure.
If he takes one of those turn backwards 17-yard sacks.
Okay, that's.
Let me tell you this.
That's the
play. Here's a fun game to play with. Put it in your group chat.
Yeah.
Someone from the future comes in and says to you, I've seen this game. I'll tell you one thing about this game.
Yeah.
Josh Allen will take a 19-yard sack, turning backwards, trying to make something happen. Did they win the game? those have come in some games they win, some games they lose. But like
Actually, it's funny. The one time he pulled it off. You remember the game he pulled it off in?
Yes. Hold on. He finds Curtis Samuel in the middle of the field against
Miami.
Okay, here.
It was right in front
Buffalo.
Of me. No. He did that in Miami.
Well, they lost in Miami.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
He did it in Miami. He was right in front of me. But that's kind of how that game was going.
Right.
So even though he pulled that play off, how was that game going?
Not too well.
Right. Like, so maybe if he just does it at all, bad sign.
That's what I'm saying.
Where he gets to the sideline and he goes, and he spins around and he starts running the other way.
And he's turning away from Trayvon Walker and Josh Hines Allen. I tell you right now, there will be a 16-yard sack in the game. Would you? What's the spread now? What'd you pick?
Jags -3.
Right.
It's worth a point and a half, I think.
803-0550. All right, Sal coming up at 7. We've got Mark Long of the Associated Press at 8, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll talk to him about the Jags and where they are in this matchup and coming into this game. I have heard the term house money in the course of booking Mark Long, reached out to another Jags writer who has since retired. So, along the way, I'm like trying to find somebody from the Jags. And 44 years at the Florida Times Sun Union, I got a guy that was retired. And so, like, all right, well, in that case, you want to just give me a pick? And his pick was Jags, they're playing with house money. That's Gene Frenette, who's since retired.
House money.
And that's kind of what you said. Like, the Jags might not feel pressure because house money, first year head coach. Like, what are we worried about? We'll be back. Rick in Lakeview. Hey, Rick, good morning.
Good morning. You know, looking at this, I guess pressure as a fan, and I don't know, as a team, I don't really feel it, because there's an also equally tempered lack of expectation on the other side. You're just talking about, you know, Josh and 17-yard sacks. It's happening in real time, and I think part of the trepidation, those 17-yard sacks used to turn into something amazing. I mean, I know it's because maybe a receiver can't get open, but it's like you're looking at Josh now at 29, soon to be 30, and his Madden rating went from 99 to 94. Is it bad enough? Did it slip? But those toenail, they're starting to happen now where it didn't happen. My biggest fear, and it goes back to special teams, and I haven't really heard anybody talk about how incredibly important special teams is, and it's just not punting and kicking field goals. Number one, we don't have a field goal kicker, which caused the loss in the, you know, Philadelphia game. But if we don't have someone who could place the kickoff and you boot it into the end zone, the Jacksonville Jaguars, every possession, are one first down away from a field goal attempt.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And it's true. Now, is this kid going to be – we saw what happened to a rookie kicker, you know, it for Baltimore, who had a great season. But without – if, you know, if it's not, the punter has to – if they can't place in it and they're just putting it down there, I mean, to make Jacksonville start inside their 20 instead of the 30 or 35 is going to be huge. And I don't like with Prater saying, well, I think I can go. That's a bigger worry than I have, I think, because yeah. Josh can be Josh, and I'm loving that.
Yeah, thanks, Rick, for the phone call. The kicker point is, I mean, it's right. It's also fun. Like Cam Little has two kicks of 67 yards or more. Right,
mm-hmm. And he's a 67-yarder and a 68-yarder.
Right,
in the regular season.
No one in the NFL has ever made one that far. He has two,
and he made a 70-yard field goal in the preseason.
Yeah,
so that's his range. If he lines up from 70, he could make it.
Right,
he did it in the preseason. In preseason pledge, whatever, like. Kicking is the one thing that might carry over that feels real.
Yep, and it's not like he's in a tough environment. It's going to be beautiful, sunny Florida, North Florida.
Right. Also, Washington, we've talked a lot about Parker Washington on offense. I think he has the most punt return touchdowns in the league the last 2 years. He had two this year. He doesn't return kicks, I don't think, like the caller was mentioning, but he is very dangerous on punt returns.
I feel like the Bills' special teams have been pretty good this year. Kick returns have been pretty good.
Yeah.
One quick stat, not to open up an old wound, but I just wanted to look this up. How far was Harrison Butker's kick from 40 or for
in the 30,
yeah,
13 seconds?
49 yards. So if it's 13 seconds all over again, they actually only need one pass. Like, you don't need two.
What was the Bass miss against the Chiefs?
45? Maybe.
It was like mid-40s, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sounds right. I don't remember, because as soon as he walked on the field, I thought the game was over.
I'll be very worried if they put Prater in.
He said yesterday it just kind of tightened up in the cold.
Uh-huh.
So he's optimistic about playing where it's warm.
I'm still afraid of it.
You're right.
I'm still afraid of it.
Understandably. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe, happy Thursday. Bills and Jags, are you buying the idea that there is more pressure on them? I've seen it said so much, I start asking myself, am I not feeling enough of this? Should I be feeling more? Maybe. 803-0550, the phone number. Sal at 7, Mike Long, who covers the Jags, at 8, and temperatures on the rise, going in the 50s tomorrow. It's already getting a little warm today. So, I guess enjoy that. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you're hanging out, enjoying the day, and kicking back. Why, we got this from here.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We made it. We made it to January. We made it to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, we finally made it. And like the minute you said that, though, I just felt like an instant relief, by the way. Like, I've known this since Sunday when we did the overtime show. But when you said it just now, I'm like, oh, that's right. We did make it. We are into the playoff week. We are into January. We are into put up or shut up territory.
Survive in advance, do or die, put up or shut up.
Does not matter how you do it at this point. There should be no... And ready? I think I'm going to do something here 2 minutes into the show. I am putting my hand up to swear a vow. I vow that for the next several weeks, or as long as the Bills are alive, I will not complain about a singular win.
Like, just get it done, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't care how ugly it is. I'm not going to be like, oh, but they didn't do this, or I'm a little concerned about this against this team. Nope, I'm going to shut the entire way up.
Well, I mean, I've even kind of gotten there, too, with like how their offense operates, because it's become quite apparent, pretty obvious. The Bills do their best work when all three tight ends are healthy. Like, that group is essentially their number one receiver as a group. When they are all in, Kincaid, Knox, and Hawes, they can do some damage. And it's been their best wins. Their best offensive outputs have been with those guys in the lineup, even if it's rushing attacks. And, like, I got there. Like, I don't love it in the long term, but in the short term, if that's what works, if that's what gets it done, great. And I will say, Derek, I mean, you mentioned it, you know, however long this goes, it could end on Sunday at around 4 when the game wraps up. I will say, though, I've started to really like Jacksonville. It started late with the Denver win, but they've looked good. Trevor Lawrence has looked like a completely different quarterback over the last 8 to 9 weeks, especially once they've acquired Jacoby Myers. The defense is young and aggressive. Liam Cohen is one of the, you know, young offensive-minded head coaches that just seem to land anywhere and do very well. There's a few misses, but there's a lot of wins. There's a lot of hits. If they're able to go into Jacksonville, and I know it's not the most aggressive crowd in the world, but this is also a franchise that hasn't won a road playoff game since 92. And with that, Allen is 0-4 on the road. That would make McDermott 0-5. If they can go get a road playoff win and beat this Jags team,
mm-hmm.
I said it on Sunday. I said it last night on the nightcap. I will think they can beat anyone in the AFC. We'll get to the NFC if they get to the Super Bowl, but I'm not worrying about that side of the bracket until it's like the AFC Championship game if they get there. If they can get past this Jacksonville team, I don't really know who can beat them in the AFC. Because they do feel like, I'm not saying they're necessarily a great team. They can earn that in this run here. But they're a very good team, and they seem to not have any real weakness. Their weakness, legitimately, might just be their inexperience.
Yes, and that's for a lot of teams here.
Mm-hmm.
Entering this playoff field, Josh Allen's second in playoff wins among starting quarterbacks. And yes, I know I subscribe to the QB wins aren't a stat, but this is a noteworthy thing that people are measuring. It's Aaron Rodgers with 11, and he's been playing forever now. Allen with 7, second. He has more wins in the postseason than Jalen Hurts does. Even though the man's got a Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But now you're also facing a playoff field where there are three players in your playoff field with 0. Another with 1. And then there's Aaron Rodgers with the worst team in the postseason field, and that includes Carolina. And C.J. Stroud and the Texans. So, there is something too. The Bills have something that other teams in this playoff field don't. Experience. As a team, they have the experience. The Steelers have plenty of experience of making the playoffs. They don't have a lot of experience in winning in it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
In the AFC, the Bills have an interesting advantage. But now we actually get to test the theory of, okay, how much does it really matter?
Right. I mean, honestly, this entire year has felt like, I think for many fans, a very exhausting exercise. Of how talented is this team? How much is it really just one or two guys kind of willing them to wins? Because I want to put James Cook in that category as well. I know early on it was, where would they be without Josh Allen? You got the NFL's leading rusher. I think you have to put him in that category.
There is something
as well
that you have to balance in there, yes. And
but man, it does feel like they are at a bit of a crossroads. All of the pressure I don't think is on them. Like I do not subscribe to the theory that if they lose this game, Sean McDermott is out. Or that even Brandon Bean's going to get fired. And that one I can maybe get more on board with than the head coach. But it does feel like a super important moment for a number of these elder statesman teams. The Bills just happen to be the only one that made it. Baltimore didn't. Kansas City didn't. And to be fair, Joe Burrow hasn't been in since like 22, 23.
23.
It's been a while for him.
Yep.
And so this kind of feels like a big moment. And yeah, I don't love that every national talking head seems to be putting all the pressure and the world on Allen and the Bills to win the playoff or to win the Super Bowl this year because of the playoff field. But also, yeah, it kind of makes sense.
That's where the narrative goes.
Yeah, you're the future Hall of Fame quarterback in a bracket with a bunch of unknowns and maybe goods. You kind of have to be the guy to do it. I'm not saying that's fair, but nationally and collectively, how people will talk about Allen's career 5 to 10 years after he's retired, they probably will go back to these playoffs, win or lose, and point to that was probably their best shot. Now, it may not all end up being on Allen. It may go to something like a Bean not making a move for a receiver, especially because they may lose to a team in Jacksonville who it's pretty much universally agreed upon. That's sort of what saved them.
Yeah, Myers being acquired.
Is Jacoby Myers winding up there? So, and like, there is a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, I think, on, I think, especially this game, because afterwards, then it just becomes you might just be in the normal situation.
Thank you for bringing up Myers.
Sunday's going to be wild.
Sunday's going to be wild, but thank you for bringing up Myers, because there's also another thing in this. You mentioned how, like, you don't subscribe to the theory that anyone gets fired, and I would agree with you. But Jacoby Myers, there's another public anecdote that, you know, that's seen as a subtle jab by the head coach to the GM.
McDermott's asked yesterday about, you know, the Jaguars, and there's a little bit of praise for how that acquisition helped them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there is a change because they're still butting heads. Because, again, there's a public perception right now that, yeah, there's another shot at the GM. And I don't know if that was actually intended by McDermott. I don't want to put the intention there. But at the same time, people are paying attention.
We've been down this road a few times
now. We've been down this road a few times this year. People are writing these things down. They're taking notes. They're going, hang on a dang minute. And yet, at the same time, when it comes to the narrative, fair or unfair, that's what happens when you're the team that is still consistently in the dance and you are consistently left on the stage with no one to dance with at the end. You're not the Steelers, a team that everyone dismisses as like not a real threat. You are one of the threats. You're the one waiting for that flower and you're not picked. And you're sitting there like one of the last two or three teams within the conference and you're not going. That's where the problem lies. Fair or unfair, the Bills have created, unfortunately, a narrative that a lot of people can easily cling to. I hate it, for one. Personally, don't care. It doesn't mean that it's over if the Bills don't win it this year. It doesn't mean that at all, not in the slightest. As long as Josh Allen is employed by the Buffalo Bills, they have a chance.
I mean, yeah, like until Allen's like 34, I'm not even going to like be entertaining those conversations.
Right. However, as a team, as a franchise, there should be a little bit of pressure on them. I don't think the locker room cares, and this is where the experience is going to help them. They've already dealt with the hardship year in and year out. That's good. Use it. Not a lot of these teams this year know how this feels.
I mean,
not a lot of teams know the playoff exit yet.
You're even, you know, you bring that up too. Liam Cohen. I heard the clip played with Jeremy and Joe earlier today talking about 1 o'clock kickoff, and he is talking about the intensity will be ramped up, the whole thing. Like, he is trying to talk about like what the playoffs will be, and we know that especially in sports like the NHL and the NBA, where the game looks significantly different from the regular season to the postseason. NHL is maybe the most famous for this, is that if you watch an NHL playoff game versus a regular season game, it doesn't even look like the same sport. Mm-hmm. The NFL is around the same, where the intensity is ramped up. All of a sudden, the quarterbacks do mean more. The defenses mean more. Allen, we can go through his stats all we want. His game elevates to a different level than many others. We don't know how a lot of these guys will react. Sam Darnold has become kind of the perfect modern-day study of like the last 2 years, mm-hmm. where as the season winds down, the games start to mean more.
Lights get brighter.
He hasn't necessarily performed as well. Where Allen has sort of been the opposite. Jalen Hurts is maybe actually the perfect example. He's fine in the regular season, maybe even at times bad, but in the postseason, in the Super Bowls,
he steps it up.
Very, very good. We don't know what Lawrence is going to look like. We don't know what Drake May or Bo Nix are really going to look like. Each of them have had one or two opportunities, May none at this point.
We do have a semblance of what Trevor Lawrence has looked like, and that's okay. He's been okay. He's been pretty much Trevor Lawrence. He's had his bright spots,
mm-hmm.
the Charger game, and then every other time, not so much. And every other time, I do believe, only constitutes for one other game, and that was the one right after.
It was Kansas City, and so ultimately he ends that 2022 postseason just over 60 completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. His passer rating is 72.1.
I wonder how many picks he threw against Kansas City now.
Yeah, I want to go back to that because I think it was more the Chargers. It was the first half was a disaster. Oh, then he rectifies it in the second half. But I need to go look back at that postseason.
But even then, if you're going to dig yourself that big of a hole, looking at you, Bills, don't do it.
Well, yeah.
Don't do the digging yourself into a 21-0 hole in the first half. Don't do it. Like, yes, it worked in the regular season against the Patriots, but can you get away with that multiple times? Probably not. But when I think about these sorts of things, yeah, we don't know about Nix. Nix has played one postseason game. We don't know about May. I feel like we know about Herbert. Yeah, which
he
is,
has collapsed.
Which is he has bad moments.
He has absolutely collapsed in the playoffs already. And the Chargers do it as a whole. I do wonder if Jim Harbaugh is going to be able to fix some of that stigma that the Chargers do carry around. But the Bills are a team that, when you look at the consistency throughout the postseason, he has a better percentage of wins in the playoffs or wins per playoff year than even Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has 11 wins in the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers has been playing for more than 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
It gets to a point where you should have the expectations on you. You are the favorite son, and the stage has been set. And that's how the national media is going to look at it. It's Tuesday and I'm tired.
I can't wait.
Like, I'm tired of already hearing about it, really. Of it has to be now. First of all, no, it doesn't. Just because it's written in the stars doesn't mean that humanity follows it. Trust me on that with any context. But I will look at this team and go, I'm not going to say quite that I agree, but man, if there's a time to put up the kill shot, it's now. It's a good opportunity. I can't wait to hear about the, what do they call it now? Like, the soft, you guys got through without Kansas City and without the Ravens.
Yeah, every championship ever always has the excuses of this team was hurt, this team wasn't in it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's everybody.
I can't wait for the, Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, yeah. I'm looking forward to facing the Mickey Mouse AFC champions or Mickey Mouse Super Bowl champions, because get it done. Let us actually do this. And I think I'm more excited because what we've been saying for weeks, Zach. What's the best reason that you have for the Bills when they're on their downswing of like, oh, they can beat anyone. They can also lose to anyone. This AFC playoff field is unpredictable and kind of meh. And now we're here. This is the meh. We're here.
Yeah.
We now get to see it in action. The Bills are part of it. But can they just get through this muddled, disgusting mess?
Going to find out on Sunday at 1. 803-0550, the number to call. It's the early days. It's only Tuesday. But what are your confidence levels at the moment for the Bills when they do take on the Jags on Sunday? We'll read your tweets as well, but we'll go to the phones here first. Alan is up first. Alan, how are we doing today?
Hey, good. How you guys doing? I just wanted to share something. There's a reason why the Bills are favored 1.5 points. And that spread didn't move at all yesterday. I heard a couple comments, people saying, oh, that's going to come down. It's going to be a pick 'em. I actually think, and I was watching something on DraftKings not too long ago, that spread might go up to 2, 2.5 by week's end. And another factor is you got to take an advantage is the crowd. Mm-hmm. I truly believe the Bills will have probably 30 to 35% people there. You can already see it. Jacksonville, there's a on Twitter, don't sell your tickets to Bills fans. How do you know? You don't know. These places don't give information where to sell your tickets to. My other point is this. The tight ends is the X factor. They're not great at covering tight ends, and they don't get to the quarterback. I really believe you're going to see the playoff Josh Allen come back. He was really ticked at that Eagles game, and when Allen gets ticked and this team goes on a roll, I just think he's going to be the huge part. And I look, and I know they're number one against the rush, number one against the pass. But I think Cook's going to have a big day, and I think our two tight ends and Allen are going to James Cook and Brandon Cooks are going to have really good days. I'll hang up and listen to you. But look at that spread. That's going to go up.
Yeah, Alan, thanks for the call. It is curious. I actually think eventually it will get to the point where the Jags are favored. The Bills are, I think, nationally a lot of it's Josh Allen and a bunch of guys. Cook maybe has entered that conversation, but I think eventually, at least as the week goes on, I think more people are just going to look at the Jags might be just playing better football at the moment. I will also say on defense, you bring up a good point with the tight ends. they're 19th in DVOA in covering tight ends. The yards, they give up a lot, what have you. But a lot of these games, especially late in the year, they've been up on teams. Teams aren't running on them. They're just throwing the ball over the yard, just trying to do anything, get anything going. They've been up on them early. And in terms of getting after the quarterback, the sack numbers I don't believe are very high. I think they're fairly low in that. But in terms of their pressure percentage, their hurry percentage, their QB knockdowns, they're top 10, top 15. Again, it's not like it's the Houston Texans or the Denver Broncos where you are kind of worried about that or Philadelphia Eagles where you're just constantly worried about it. They are athletic. They're young. They're fast. This has the looks of a team that just had a bad head coach that finally all the young talent is starting to emerge at the same time because they got the coaching staff right. I think this is going to have to come down to Allen just being the first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback that he is. We go through like a bunch of these guys and the unknowns they are in the playoffs. Allen's not that. Allen at this point, especially after his first year, has been nothing but money in the playoffs. Literally outside of 1 year past 2020. Of course, 2019, you have the loss against Houston. But since his emergence as this great quarterback, 2022 is the only year where he has equal touchdowns to interceptions. Outside of that, it's four passing touchdowns, no picks, four passing touchdowns, no picks, nine no picks, 5-1 in 2020. Also, you look at the rushing numbers as well. He puts up three rushing touchdowns in 23, two last year. You know, he is somebody that just takes over postseason games. He plays his best ball at this time. I think it was great. Bills were able to get him to rest. They didn't really have to worry about playing for seeding. They ultimately get the win with the backups in pretty, you know,
convincingly,
emphatic fashion. But yeah, Allen plays his best. I mean, if you want to look at passer rating, 109.6 last year, 101.7 the year prior. His yards per game as well, 212 last year, 194 the year prior. So they don't even necessarily ask a lot of him in these last two games throwing the ball. But this is where he is at his best, is in the postseason, and they're going to need it.
And also, though, there's a sour taste in his mouth over the last 2 years. You had the football with an opportunity to make a difference in the game, and you didn't. That's going to sit there. That's going to be remembered by him. I know that. That's an athlete thing. Like, I don't like to assume feelings. I'll assume that one. Because athletes do hold on to every chip that they can on their shoulder, as tiny as it could be. But this one's a big chip. This is one that he will want to overcome. Just as a player, you want to do that. It's not even about us talking about it. It's already there. It's already in the register. The passing and rushing situation with Jacksonville, we had a couple of callers on the overtime show about that. One was worried about how Jacksonville is so stout against the defense, against the run, and it's a little bit of a fallacy. Jacksonville's gotten up quickly on a lot of subpar teams in their win streak, so it does skew the numbers a little bit there. I do think that the Bills will be able to establish a run game against Jacksonville. And like you said, this isn't Houston, this isn't Denver, where they play a disrespectful brand of defense.
They're there to punish you for showing up.
Houston in particular, they don't disguise their coverage, and they don't blitz you, and they will still beat you. But even Houston, they're playing for a decent, like, they still had some of their starters in on defense and got trampled over by Riley Leonard. So, once again, we are back to who are all of these teams really? And that includes Buffalo. However, when it comes to playoff track record, I do also know something else. As of late, the Bills defense has been doing enough. And that's through this season as well. They've been doing enough. What does enough constitute? Well, that depends on the game. But they've been doing enough every game. Whether it's, okay, we're getting ourselves into a track meet, we can't make a stop, and then, oh, hey, guess what? Here's the timely stops that our offense, who's already playing with their hair on fire, can finish the job. They make the timely stop. In the losses, how often have we blamed the defense in losses?
It gets there, but
this season.
But this season, it's been those losses. It's been much more of, man, the defense actually showed up. And it's the offense that has failed them. Playoffs, it's sort of the same thing. I know with Kansas City, it's, you know, they put up a ton of yards and a ton of points. But you mentioned, and I think correctly, no, the last 2 years, your offense had a chance with the ball to go win, and they didn't.
Because the defense has made timely stops.
Yeah, timely stops.
They've done enough to get it done to where, okay, now you have an opportunity with the football to win this thing. And that they've carried that into this entire year. They've done enough for you to get the job done. So, yeah, the narrative is going to be there, lazy as it may be. But I'm not going to go ahead and just outright say that it's wrong. That's where it's tiring to me, is finding that balance.
803-0550, the number to call. The Bills will come in somewhat shorthanded, or at least they're expected to, on defense. Bills head coach Sean McDermott did speak with the media yesterday. Max Harrison unlikely to play, as he did pick up that ankle injury. Not really sure exactly what kind of ankle injury it is, but he's unlikely to play closer to week to week. While guys like Matt Prater and Ty Johnson are considered day to day. The Bills are expected also to bring in kickers, though, later today to work out just in case Prater cannot go. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. It is Tuesday. It's the early days of the week. But what are your confidence levels in the Bills as they get ready to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the wild card round? Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
GR.
I was looking this morning at the most consecutive seasons of 10-plus wins NFL all time. The Bills are now fifth, and they're the only team that has not reached a Super Bowl in that seven-year stretch. Not only has every other team, when they have these stretches, been to a Super Bowl, six of the seven have won a Super Bowl. Buffalo hasn't reached it. Losing to Mahomes and Burrow, that's a reason. You can't lose to Bo Nix. You can't lose to Drake May. You can't lose to Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence. You can't. Doesn't matter. You can't.
Colin Coward. Well, I don't hate it the way I think many people locally hate it. I do think it obviously ignores a lot. Like, it ignores what kind of seasons any of those teams have had and how good they are. And like Ross kind of said, maybe we'll decide afterwards, like next year, that Jacksonville is really good. And the coach really unlocked Trevor Lawrence and all his skills and all this stuff. And so, you know, I don't like that about it, but it largely is you're the rock star monster quarterback, and you're the king of the hill standing here. So I think that's kind of how it's worked a lot. I mean, Mahomes and the Chiefs it's a lot of it. Like, none of it's happening because Steve Spagnuolo is a blitz genius entirely, like singularly. Mahomes is such a huge part of everything they've done, obviously. So I think the pressure should be on the Bills. And what I think the real shame of all of it is, you know, we can talk about the roster and all the decisions and whatever's been done here. The fact that all of those guys aren't in it and the Bills are the six is the real, like, the season is the real shame of it. Like, the opportunity to get the one, if everything that Coward just said, I think would almost be inarguable if the Bills were sitting home this week and the one seed.
Yeah, me too.
And the rest of the field. But because that's, I think that's true, I don't think you can just laugh it out of the park or just poke holes entirely in it. He is still the most accomplished, decorated guy left in the conference anyway. So it should land on him and them. I mean, it's not just him, of course. And that is another problem with how it gets framed, I know. But overall, I mean, I don't know. This probably doesn't surprise you or the audience that's been paying a lot of attention, because I'm the one who's been over here the last two off seasons raising his hand going, I got the ball and that dude is on the field with a chance to win. I like my chances. I'll sign for that every time. And I would say that now going into Jacksonville. If it's a minute 40 to go and they need a touchdown to beat the Jaguars and they've got the ball at the 35-yard line, I'm going to expect to win the game. I'm going to go do it.
Expect.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to like their chances anyway. I'd rather be that than defending a 3-point lead or a 4-point lead with a minute 30 to go with Trevor Lawrence having the ball at my 35-yard line.
Big difference. 3 versus 4, I think.
Sure. I need a touchdown to win, which is what they were the last 2 years.
I'm on my own 35, like after a kickoff?
No. I'm already, I'm.
Sorry.
Wow, you're really getting in the weeds here. So I guess I didn't specify. Where did the Bills crap out against the Chiefs two years ago?
Oh, 2 years ago. Well, they missed the kick.
Field goal range.
Yeah.
Last year, midfield. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, that scenario. Make it midfield if you want, just to make it easy. You don't have to worry about whose 35 it is. I got the ball in midfield, minute 40 to go. I need a touchdown. I should like my chances there. So I don't think that's unfair to throw on the quarterback and you know, the offense and all of it, you know? Doesn't mean it will be his fault. I mean, a big part of the problem that I had with Bean and the way he defended his receiver choices is the way last year ended. I'm throwing a pass in the flat to Amari Cooper, who can't run away from a cold at that point. And, like, that's my 3rd and 10 play. So it's not all Allen's fault when it doesn't go together. I just think
that's for sure.
I think a reasonable amount of it should be directed at him. That's how we do it. It's the NFL. You got the rock star quarterback. You should have your best chance to win.
Well, this is really a microcosm of one topic we've gone back and forth on for maybe years, like certainly since last year's loss to Kansas City, which was like, well, where do you point the finger? And I am bracing, not all the time, but when I think of it, I am bracing for the possibility that Allen has another at least good. Does it need to be great? It is a tougher spot. Like, I don't know if I want to make great the standard, however you would sort of enumerate that. But if he has a, you know, no turnovers, two touchdowns, 240-yard kind of game, like last year in Kansas City, it's almost exactly what he did last year. Didn't he also run for two, or was that a different year? I don't know what I'm going to say that – what I'm going to want to say that, like, at all directs the blame toward him just because Liam Cohen isn't Andy Reid or because Trevor Lawrence isn't Mahomes. I mean, when we talk about McDermott, it's, for me, like, the same point I've made a lot. I don't think I can lose another game in the playoffs the way they've lost them. But I mean that more about defense than about Allen or, you know, anything else, Tyler Bass. Like, for me, that's more that they can't get Mahomes to the ground. They can't take the ball away. And your odds of winning only top out, like, right here in a game like that. And it's just been tough for me to put that on Allen to any reasonable extent. So if I get that again, it's more of a coaching failure or a organizational failure for me. I want to see the game first, you know, and I don't want to assume I'm not assuming they're going to lose. But even if it's in the second round, Bo Nix was mentioned there too, right? Mm-hmm. Can't lose to him. Can't lose to any of them. Who can I lose to?
Nobody.
Hurts. Who can I lose to that's not disrespectable or unrespectable? What's allowed here? What am I going to do about it anyway? You know, it's all just talk. When it comes to Allen, all it is fodder. Because nothing is going to change with him. Like, he is going to take this team on next year and maybe for years to come. But McDermott is another story. And while it might be unlikely that they would do something about it, it's not impossible, right? I think with Allen, it's impossible. And who would even want it?
Right. I definitely don't think it's impossible with McDermott, but I think I'd add a highly to the unlikely that anything changes, even if they lose and lose badly on Sunday. But yeah, Allen is entrenched. That's not, assuming he doesn't want any of that to change, then that will never change. So, yeah, I mean,
because there's nothing that will be done about it,
right?
Unless you're changing above him, or even coordinator. Like, you do something like that, then it's a different formula for next year. But really, all there is just fodder. Like, it's nothing to it. And having our fun ranking quarterbacks and deciding whether they're, you know, man enough, quote unquote, to win a championship.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just to boil it all the way down, I do not mind anyone, because, I mean, I've looked at the Bills this way the last two off seasons, so that's why I said, like, it's not, you just alluded to it, I said it too. People who really pay attention, I don't think are shocked to hear me talking this way and hear you talking this way. We've been having this conversation for 2 years running. I think one of these times, whatever flaws I've got defensively, it's personnel, it's schematics, whatever it is, right, that is getting me beat in these games, one of these times when I've got the ball with a minute and a half to go and I need a score to win, you want to be the great rock star quarterback? You got to go do that.
Of course, that did happen in 21.
It did. It did. And that is where this whole thing, that's the tree from which we're all still picking fruit from and having these conversations. And in no way am I trying to lump that one in. Like, that is in a class by itself. But the problem is that it shades every single conversation, not every single conversation, I think it shades a lot of conversations about McDermott, because he blew it. And there's no argument that he blew it. It was a coaching colossal blunder. No argument. But he's learned, he's evolved, and I don't think that if I hold you to a field goal on your last possession and I get the ball back, and I've got this quarterback, that I should be expecting nothing, but at some point you're going to get it done. Because the great ones do that. That is what they do. Otherwise, they're not up on Mount Rushmore. You got to lead the team to the victory. Just overcoming all the obstacles that your coach may have put in front of you or your defense left you with or whatever it is. Again, sign me up. I've got the ball and a minute 40 to go. I expect I'm going to get home one of these times.
I mean, it's fair enough, this argument. Like, this is how quarterback sports talk works. The other guys that you think of that were like Allen in somebody that was really good, great, MVP level, but their team couldn't break through? I challenge anybody to find one over the span of like 5 years that has numbers close to Allen. Like the Peyton Manning comp dies at Bill Belichick's feet because they couldn't score against New England. You know, Manning always lost until he didn't because they just couldn't get first downs. They couldn't score points. Mm-hmm. The game ends and it's like Manning blew it. Like that's what right. you had. And I would say this is probably McNabb. I mean, who are the other guys you think of? It's Lamar Jackson.
Rivers.
Look at Rivers. Look at Lamar Jackson. He's got a loss to Rivers. He's got a loss to Tannehill. He's got one to Mahomes. He's got two to Allen. Look at his numbers in those games. Turnovers all over the place. So, I mean, it wasn't like Baltimore was giving up 30 points to these teams in those losses always. You can look at the quarterback and you can have a hard conversation. Allen has played at a higher level than that
mm-hmm.
over these years. And the hypothetical that's the most interesting here is if like these games like last year in Kansas City happened Sunday, then what? You know, then it's like he can't be exalted because 32 points allowed, whatever it is. That's where I have the problem. You know, all-time great quarterbacks, sure, they all have Lombardis. They almost all. Who doesn't? Who's the best quarterback ever to not win one? Maybe it's Rivers. I don't know. Breeze got one. Like, Marino, right? Marino.
Yeah.
And I don't have every one of these guys' complete histories, you know, committed to memory. But I'd be looking for the one that in the playoffs was really to blame the most. Because that's just tough on Allen. And if it has to be 2-minute warning losing to sort of overcome this or accomplish whatever it is we're trying to do here, then even that alone is a tough ask, you know? I mean, against playoff teams mm-hmm. on the road, that alone. You wouldn't want him to have to drive to the game-winning touchdown in the final minute to mean something more than he means as a player. You wouldn't have to. Likewise, some of these Super Bowl winners never had to do that. You know, they were on teams, whether they just the run out of the competition or their defense, the Ravens team or the Bears or somebody where the defense
right.
is so good.
And those guys, we don't talk about being great quarterbacks.
No, that's right. In those cases, that's right.
They're just in they Brady, have the benefit.
Though, Brady, though, I mean, Brady won 7. So that just sort of cancels Brady. But right. some of his were not
yeah, that's right.
games where he had to drive to the win or anything like that. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Sabres pregame at 6 on WGR.
Two on one for Buffalo. Short-handed. Nice pass! Scores! The power play Twins go to work there. Tuck to McLeod. And it's a 2-0 Buffalo lead.
One of the first moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Dan Dunleavy on the call. The Sabres win. Good crowd on hand. They hold off Vancouver, a late rally from the Canucks, and the Sabres take the victory 5-3. Tage Thompson opens the scoring. Alex Tuck scored as well. And they are 1 point out of a playoff spot with half the season to go. So that's great. And they are 3 points out of a playoff spot in the division, one of the guaranteed top three spots mm-hmm. that's held by Montreal. They're 3 points back with a game in hand, and they will play Montreal 3 times. This month. So that's the story on the Sabres. You can give us a call on that if you want to. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. One more day without football, and then tomorrow we start college football playoff pair of games mm-hmm. into the weekend for super wild card weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get your phone calls at 803-0550. Can I get my resume rant in now?
Sure.
Okay. I don't want to.
You've heard enough of played bad teams?
I've heard so much. I've heard enough.
Yeah.
And the main reason I've heard enough, and I don't want this to come across as like, I'm telling you that the Bills stink. Resume talk is worthless. It means nothing, and everybody forgets about it. It's almost as useless as preseason talk. When a team wins the Super Bowl, the 13 seconds team, let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
How many good teams did the 13 seconds team beat along the way to getting to 13 seconds? Because if you remember...
Yeah, don't remember.
If you remember, they beat the Patriots in the perfect game, and mm-hmm. that NBC Boston crew after that pointed out that the Bills that year had only beaten like 3 playoff teams
and one of them was the Patriots.
Right.
They only beat three playoff
teams. Who they did it to twice, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And we're all like, who cares?
Right.
It doesn't actually matter how far you get. How many playoff teams do the Bills have wins over this year?
I believe it's only two, right?
It's three.
Carolina, Tampa, and
New England. No, Tampa's not in the playoffs.
Tampa's not in the playoffs. Right.
Three wins over playoffs. If you want to do the thing where you remove the contact.
Carolina, Pittsburgh, and New England.
Carolina, Pittsburgh, and New England. Who are the two worst teams in the playoffs?
Carolina and Pittsburgh.
They come on. You want to talk resume. How many wins do the Bills have over teams that finished with winning records?
Ooh,
two. They have two wins. Mm-hmm. Over teams that finished with winning records. Two.
Yeah.
I saw Nate yesterday pointing out, oh, well, you know, Jacksonville's 8-game win streak. They only beat two teams with winning records. That's how many the Bills have beat the whole year is two. New England and Pittsburgh. So resume doesn't mean a thing. I don't care about it. I don't care at all. In part because the Bills are about to go into a postseason where they haven't played anybody. They haven't played any of these teams. I don't know what they're going to look like against Denver or Jacksonville.
If they play the Chargers, I don't know what that would look like.
Right. They've really played. And what they have played are the teams that at the time we thought were good. This kind of happens in the college football playoff as well, right? Like, wins over teams that finished in the top 25. Oh, okay. How many wins do they have against teams that at the time were in the top 25?
Yeah.
Everyone wants to change the parameters for a resume. I know that the Bills beat the Chiefs. And at that time, it felt like a very good win. You know what the Chiefs' record they finished with? You know what they finished?
Seven? They win seven games?
Six? 6-11.
That's tough.
Is that a bad win? That's the Chiefs. You beat the Ravens.
Right,
the Ravens missed the playoffs because the guy missed a kick.
Right.
The Bengals are a dangerous team that finished with a record below 500 because their quarterback missed a bunch of games. So if you're going to do the thing where you look at another team and just Google the standings, say like, oh, maybe like three teams with winning records.
Mm-hmm.
All right, if we're going to do the contextless conversation, then the Bills' resume is pretty gross. The Bills have four losses. Three of those are to teams whose quarterbacks are not their starter at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Tua, Penix, and Davis Mills.
Yeah.
Like,
yikes.
Talk to me about resume. Anyway, the resume doesn't matter. They can beat the Jaguars. If they beat the Jaguars, it's a heck of a win. I think the Jaguars are good. I think the Bills are good. I think it's maybe, I don't know if it's the best matchup of the weekend, but I think it's a darn good matchup.
I think it's the best matchup of the weekend. I think all this is right. I mean, you could really even expand it further out. I that's why I try to look more at like what happened in the games more than what the result was, and that will also be against bad teams. Like the Bills beat the Browns. But I don't look at that as an impressive game that makes me more confident that the Bills are going to go in the playoffs. Maybe it shouldn't matter at all, but when you struggle against teams like Cleveland, that's not to me a very good sign. Now, the Bills didn't do that a ton this year, right? Like, games they won where they really had to struggle. Like New Orleans was in the game right at the end, right?
They end up winning by two scores, yep.
Yeah. Miami at the end, Zach Sealer takes a penalty. Like, that game was live.
Yep.
But that's, like, one of the things.
That's week three. They win by 10, but they're punting the ball back to Miami in a tie game.
Right. That, like, I would even look at the Jags' last loss. Like, okay, they lost to Houston. But do you remember what it took for them to lose that game to Houston?
Yeah. They're up 29-10.
The Texans had to score 26 points in the fourth quarter to beat them. Now, the Jags let that happen to them.
It's a meltdown, yeah.
So it is a meltdown. But like that's a game against an amazing defense, and you had 29 points walking into the fourth quarter with a giant lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even that game, I don't want to call it fluky, but it's one that if they played 10 times, they probably win it 9 times. So, like, if you look a little bit deeper into these games, why is Denver, you know, only beating the Raiders 10-7? That's a win, but
it's not impressive.
What's going on that your offense against that defense couldn't do anything?
That's how I feel about the Texans. The Texans didn't look great against the Raiders. Maybe you want to be a resume person. You can do that. How about this one instead? What was your best moment? What was your worst moment? Like how far removed from it are you? What is the Bills at their best? Their best win is what? Is it New England?
Complete game. I mean, Tampa feels like their best game to me.
Complete game. You want to go Tampa?
Yeah.
Fair.
They let them run.
Tampa without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
Yep. Like, what about Kansas City?
Sorry. And without Bucky Irving.
Yep.
And missing some pieces. Like, if you do resume stuff,
I might want to say Kansas City.
I was going to say you'll drive yourself crazy, but really what you'll do is you'll drive me crazy. Okay, Kansas City's their best win.
Yeah.
But last year, when they beat Kansas City, they were the only team to beat Kansas City.
Right.
This year, they're one of 11.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not 11. Maybe it's like 9 teams because Denver.
But the Jags did it.
The Jags did it. Right. The Eagles did it.
So, maybe, yeah, a lot of teams did do it.
A lot of teams did it. So, resume stuff. All right, there you go. There's my rant. It'll drive me crazy. I think the Jags are good. I think the Bills are good.
See, that's the other thing. The Jags at their best, it's a lot easier.
Is it Denver?
It's Denver and the Chargers games.
Or is like it? Did they win in San Francisco or they host that game? Sorry.
That was early in the year. They went to San Francisco and they won 26-21. That was Mac Jones, but Mac Jones had been pretty good.
Mac Jones played well for them.
But so they beat them early in the year. They beat Houston early in the year. We mentioned that Chief win. But, like, I think it's easy, like, for them. Like, their most impressive game, unless you really want to go to home against the Chargers and they blew them out.
Yeah.
Like, to me,
Denver
going on the road against that defense and hanging 34 on them is the most impressive thing they've done this year.
Okay. The Bills' most impressive win, you might say Tampa, you might say New England, you might say Kansas City, you might say Baltimore early in the year. But a couple of those games are
wild,
furious comebacks.
Yeah.
I mean, 3 of their best wins are furious comebacks. Cincinnati, New England, and Baltimore.
Right.
So anyway, that's some resume talk for you.
So what you're saying is because the Bills had 2 furious comebacks and the Jags had 1 crazy collapse, that maybe we get that Sunday?
I am definitely saying when they're down 21-0
at halftime, they can win?
You're not allowed to freak out. Second half adjustments come.
Okay, maybe you're that's allowed. A tough one to hold through.
Maybe you're allowed to freak out.
I'm not allowed to freak out 21-0?
No, but you're not allowed to be surprised. How about that?
All right, fine.
Might agree on that. Eric in Lockport. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Hey, morning, boys. How's it going?
Good.
I'll hit the bullet points quick. Thursday, of course, Jeremy, must win.
Oh, let's wow. Eric's doing it. We're going to chart Eric's record on calling must wins. Eric, put him on the board.
Hey, 1-0. And then I just want to talk, and then quickly, as far as trade ideas for the Sabres, if there's a defenseman that I don't want to have to pay in the future, it's Owen Power, if I can get that off my books. And then as far as the Jaguars game, I just think the key is really to create a close game late and see if you can get the old Trevor Lawrence to come out. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks, Eric. These are moments. This AFC playoff is going to produce at least one other this guy has taken a step. And that's even if, let's say the Bills get to the AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they going to play against? Will it be Drake May? Will it be Bo Nix? Will it be Justin Herbert? Someone, probably two someones, are maybe going to elevate to a level that they have not before. Whether that's Allen in the Super Bowl, or if Herbert were to make it, or if Drake May wins the MVP and makes the Super Bowl in his first year. So, you know, you talk about get the old Trevor Lawrence out. If Trevor Lawrence makes the AFC Championship game, all of a sudden he's looked at a little differently. He's not come close to that before.
No. No, not even close. I mean,
they made the divisional round and lost to the Chiefs.
Yeah. But even that one, he didn't get a lot of credit for because he kind of put the Jags in a hole in the first game. And then you got an injured Mahomes, and their offense started sputtering, and then you couldn't come back and beat them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he hasn't come. I mean, he did. We're so far removed from it, though, and it is college that I'm not sure anybody really cares. But, I mean, what are his big moments in the national championship? He's got those, doesn't he? But does anyone care about that at this point? I know Burrow used to get credit for that. But Burrow was the quarterback of like the greatest college team we've ever seen.
This is where I tell you, they just never really saw it from Trevor Lawrence.
Not even in college?
I just never.
When he was the...
I just didn't
he
think...
He was the generational can't-miss. Yeah. Like, he was the... Him and Andrew Luck
and I just
were these guys. Wasn't always there.
I feel like until this 8-game win streak, we were still doing the, is this guy actually good?
Were you just doing that because of his hair, though?
No, I don't think so. I like long hair just fine.
His numbers were pretty good.
I don't judge a guy based on his hair. Yeah, he was. Yeah. He beat Syracuse in a game I was at. That was disappointing.
7 years ago he won or 8 years ago he won the national championship, by the way. So it's been a long time.
No. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550. Give us a ring. It's Buffalo Bills football Wednesday. Should I just say that? Like we're talking Bills and Jags?
It's a playoff Wednesday.
Playoff Wednesday. And the Sabres, they got a win over Vancouver. Paul Hamilton coming up at the top of the hour to chat with us about that Sabres win over Vancouver. They are next up against the Rangers at Madison Square Garden on Thursday. John Harbaugh sacked. Yeah. We should be saying sacked instead of fired. You know, the Premier League manager gets sacked.
Mm-hmm.
He's been sacked.
As long as people don't get confused. Miles Garrett did not tackle John
Although
Harbaugh.
It would be funny if that is how you got fired.
Miles
like,
Garrett tackles
they
you.
They set you loose on the field. And they're like, yeah. You got 100 yards. If you can outrun Miles Garrett, you can keep your job. Otherwise, you've been sacked.
Yeah.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
All right, back here on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and plenty of people waiting on the lines at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, where we are asking you today, what's the biggest difference with this year's playoff version of the Bills than years past? So we'll lead off with Kevin in Hamburg. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Good.
I'm sure you'll probably heard or probably hear from now on to the rest of your show with that question coming up. I'd have to say, unfortunately, is the Bills' offensive inconsistencies this year, especially against teams that are not wonderful, like the Bengals or the Falcons, who didn't even make the playoffs. And just, I mean, the Bengals are a terrible defense, and we took the second half to finally start getting ourselves going offensively. The Bengals' defense is probably only the Cowboy defense is equally bad, you know how bad they are ranked this year. And the Falcons, they had a couple games, they got hot, yeah, around us. But there's no way we'd have gotten a hole like we would have if we were the offensive team we were last year and barely and not beat them or for a stink, I guess you could say. So yeah. I think we got to get ourselves going offensively. So that's my answer to your question.
I see where you're coming from there. I will say, you know, the games you're talking about were an eon ago. I'm actually encouraged by Buffalo's last two victories on the road from this perspective. Yes, they got off to a slow start against the Patriots, but they were able to turn it on and stage an enormous comeback down 21 points and won with unbelievable execution and play calling. And then 2 weeks later, or maybe it was the next week, in Cleveland, they get out to a fast start. And then their defense is able to hold on. Now, I realize Cleveland doesn't have an offense that's impressive at all, especially with a rookie quarterback. My point is, I think in these last two road victories by the Bills, they have demonstrated they can win in different ways on the road. And so I'm mildly encouraged by that. I'm not like, don't even worry about it. It's not going to be a problem. Because we know slow starts have been somewhat of an issue for this team for good stretches of the season.
Right. Make no mistake about it, though. When they're on the road offensively, they have not been as good, except for the Carolina game, which I keep going back to. They go at Miami, they score 13 points. At Houston, they score 19 points. At Pittsburgh, good day, they score 26 points.
But they had seven at
Cleveland,
halftime.
At Cleveland, they score 23.
Or three.
The one outlier is when they go to New England, they hang 35 on the Patriots after dropping 21 points in the first half. You know,
and they only had seven at halftime.
They had seven at halftime, so that was an explosion. But when they're on the road, yeah, they have not scored points at the same rate they have at home. That's not a revelation. That's kind of the way football works. But that leads to the inconsistencies, I think, much as anything.
I think what's also different about this team in comparison to last year's playoff version is their defense down the stretch here has demonstrated more consistency. The way they played against the Eagles was very impressive. I know their run defense has been a problem for much of this season. I think it's been better in recent weeks. Not great, but it's been better. And their pass defense has been outstanding. I mean, since week six, Tre'Davious White has the lowest completion percentage against in the league. And Christian Benford has the lowest passer rating against in the league since week six. I mean, those two guys have really been locking it down on the outside. And this 3-3-5 nickel package that Bobby Babich and Sean McDermott have designed has yielded positive results when it comes to generating a pass rush. They may not be getting sacks, but they're speeding up quarterbacks, internal clocks. They're getting hurried throws, ill-advised decisions, and This team is top 10 in takeaways since week 9 or 10, I think. So they're not at the top of the league in total takeaways all season long, which I know where Jacksonville lives, but the second half of the season they are. They've done a much better job of taking the ball away. So I think those things will help.
And it's and you're going to need it because, like I said, this is a team that has not played as sharp on the road offensively as they have at home. And I know you heard they're playing in Jacksonville this week, so that is a road game. This is one of the, this is a time, though. You got to find a way to win on both all three sides of the football. All three. That's why the kicker's coming in here. We got, you know, Matthew Wright is the kicker.
Probably.
Wisnowski is the third punter the Bills have had. You've got a defense that now is playing and can kind of hold their end of the table up for an offense who has not played well on the road. So you're going to have to find a way to win this game.
Yeah. Now, they average about six fewer points on the road this
feel
season.
Like they, you feel like the offense has got it under the, under their hood to rev in any given moment. And we've seen it. Like we saw it in the New England game up there where they, you know, they hung 28 points on the Patriots in the second half alone. So that's, you know, they've got it under the hood. And like I said, you would like to see them in games that matter, like this one in particular, right? They dig deep and find a way to do it. The inconsistency is well put by Kevin.
Yep.
That's the one thing that's a little different. I don't know if you got as much faith in seeing this. You're going to see it consistently. We'll see.
Let's go to Tom in Lackawanna next. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Two things, both from the last game, which was wonderful, to say the least. I wondered if they also gave Joe Brady the day off because there wasn't one bubble screen, which I hope they can carry forward going into the playoffs here. Because it's you were just talking about slow starts and being inconsistent. There's one thing that's killing drives for him. It's the bubble screen. I know it works once every six or seven times. I have no problem with screen with swing passes and looking the other way and then dumping it off to a running back or something. But the bubble screen to me is just a terrible play, and I hope they put it away at least until next season. And then the other thing was I've been to many road games. And throughout the 52 years, I always wondered why we saw very, very few instant replays. And this last game was remarkable. Through most of the first quarter and the second and through the game, they were replaying almost every game. So like it was like when you're sitting home and watching it. So I hope they carry that into the new Highmark Stadium for next year.
All right. Fair enough, Tom. Thanks very much. Look, you're not the first person that's called about the bubble screens and the tunnel screens and all of that. Khalil Shakir also didn't really play last week, just so you know. And that's probably one of the reasons you didn't see a lot in the screen game.
Khalil's
their yards
very
after
good,
catch guy.
Yes, Khalil's a very good run after catch receiver, and you play to your guy's strengths. Get him the ball and let him run. That's
yeah.
And the fact they didn't run any last week, I mean, that how obvious do you have to get?
And
the fact
not for
the
nothing
fact that he didn't should tell you how uncommitted he is to it.
Not for nothing. Yeah. He's got the longest touchdown for the Bills this season. 54 yards.
On the bubble screen.
And it was on a screen play to the right flat against the Carolina Panthers, and he ran the rest of the way. So that's why they keep doing it. Right, wrong, or indifferent, no matter how you feel about it. Got to take a break here. When we come back, more of your phone calls. So if you're holding at 803-0550, be patient. We'll do our best to get to you in short order here on a Wednesday edition of One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today.
You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks, and now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.